You know, to get to know how great God truly is, you've got to know Him. You have got to know who He is. You know, if I'm trying to put this analogy together and put it together correctly, but if you were to watch a fight, I mean a war, somebody's going to die fight. One person is fighting for you. One person is fighting to get to you. You're going to find out how great of a person it is who's fighting for you. Because you're going to see them rise up into something you've never seen before. See, Jesus came because the Father sent Him. He asked Him, "Son, will you go do this?" And Jesus went and did it. And the devil fought as hard as he could to get Jesus to trip up. To say, you know what? Don't go on the cross. He's fighting against you now, but I'm here to tell you, we have a great God. There's a God in heaven. And I'm going to tell you right, nobody can deny that He's a great God. But if you don't know Him, you have got to start seeing Him. You've got to get in this right here. Spend some time in it. And then say, "Father, show me in my life." And He'll begin to show you the things in your life that He carried you through. You thought you did it on your own. "Yay, me, I did it." And He said, "No, I was there. You quit, remember?" I quit many times. I came from a long line of quitters. And it wasn't smoking and alcohol and all the other stuff. It was, we just quit. It's too hard. But I'm here to tell you, God is a great God. He's an awesome God. We're going to take up the tithe and offering this morning. I'm going to bless it. And I want you this week to try to identify closer to God who He is. I'm going to talk about some other things here later, but I just want you to know God is great. He's more great than just, oh, He created the heavens and the earth. Folks, He's done so much more than that. He's done so much more. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You that You are a great God. You're a good God. Father, You are worthy. You deserve our praise and adoration. And Father, as part of that, we present to You today our tithe and our offering. Lord, I bless it now. And I thank You for Your covenant with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And the super kids are dismissed. Well, I'll tell you, we are one step closer to having air conditioning in the hallway and heat in the hallway. Tim and I spent quite a few hours in that 120-degree attic this week. I'll tell you what, but did you lose any weight? Because I sure didn't. Well, I got on the scales, I'm like, are you serious? All that sweat for nothing. Oh, but praise God. I told Tim, I said, you know what? I'm tickled with how we got it. Next week, there should be at least completely ducted into the hallway. And we can actually, we have to get all the trunks run or the branches run, because when we turn it on, if we don't, the system could actually implode on itself. It'll pull all the ductwork and close it off. So we have to have relief pumped into it. But praise God. One step closer. Been a long time coming. I talked to the guy who made the ductwork and sold it to me, a friend of mine, and he said, when did you start this? And I said, well, my last text to you was in 2013. I said, so 8 years ago. A lot has happened in 8 years. But praise God. But one of those was we paid off the building. And 2 weeks ago, I have the deed. So praise God. Yeah. Praise God. So, well, I am going to start today on laying the foundation for the Holy Ghost, about the Holy Spirit, why we need the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I'm starting today because next week, which I forgot to do any announcements, is our picnic, our church picnic. If you want to sign up, back here is a sign-up sheet, and there's also a food list. You can see what isn't coming and make something. That always works. But just know that. But so that I say that I'm laying this foundation because I'm not preaching next week. It's all praise and worship. And then when we leave, we will go to the side of the picnic, which is over by Chesterville, if anybody has not already tried to Google it or anything. But the Holy Spirit, is one of those topics that the church has twisted and morphed into its own perverse mess. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to make you goofy, not to make you weird. Nowhere does it say, and thus the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you become suddenly weird. You were weird to begin with. That's all there is to that. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and lives within. It doesn't just come upon us. I'm going to show you some things today. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So many people say, well, I got Jesus living in my heart. I'm sorry, you do not. Let me help you out. We have taught so many fallacies in the Bible from saying it's in the Bible. It's not. You have Jesus in you the same way you have memories of your grandfather. Does that help you make sense a little bit of it? Jesus doesn't live within you. Jesus has a body. He is forever stuck in that thing. But he said, I'm sending my Holy Spirit. And we'll get into all this today. We are the same. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have me. And so, but the Holy Spirit was not sent to make us goofy. It was not sent to make us weird. It was to empower us. To make us, see, we're all trying to get back to this, back to Eden, we'll call it. Back to the pre-fall of man stage when we walked in the authority and the power that God had for us. Well, first off, there were no demons yet. Yeah, that's a whole other teaching, but a lot of people are teaching a fallacy that the demons are fallen angels. Angels don't need a body. They don't need it. The demons are spirits. They need a body. We'll talk about that some other day. But Adam had God's Spirit in him. It empowered him to do the things that God had told him to do, to bring order to a world of chaos. When you read in Genesis, it says, and in the beginning, the earth was void and formless. The words are tohu wabohu in the Hebrew, and they mean chaotic. God didn't create this earth in chaos. You know, when I'm building something, believe it or not, there's a plan. There's a plan, it's established. I look at things, you can ask my family, you can ask Tim. I will stand there and I'll stare at something for an hour and I'll say, okay, here's our next three steps. Now to everybody else it may seem like a little chaos, but to me, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what's next, I know what's got to happen. But to somebody who doesn't, it's chaos. God already knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen with Lucifer. He had already made arrangements. The Bible says before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, Jesus had already given up his life. He had already made the decision back here that at this point he would give up his life. And at this point, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell back within us. See, with the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot be conquered. It's not saying that you're not going to get down. It's not saying that you're going to get tired. It's not saying that you're just feeling weary. Anybody ever feel battle-torn, battle-worn? If you ain't raising your inside, I know you're raising your hands. Because we all get tired. And when we get tired and I'll use the word retreat. As a Marine, I hate using the word retreat. I should say despise using the word retreat. I despise using the word retreat because, first off, Marines don't retreat. We fight in a different direction. See, it's all how you're looking at it. We think, oh, they're retreating. No, we're leading the enemy around so that we can gain better ground. But when we fall back to be with God, we need recreation. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? It's not saying make a hobby your life, and then you just always do that 7 days a week. It's no longer a hobby, and it's no longer fun. It's like if you go to Hawaii, oh, this is so great. Isn't Hawaii beautiful? And then you go live there. Hawaii is not the place to live. Not from anybody I've heard that's lived there. Paradise is not paradise anymore. Now you get to see the real stuff. You want to go down to Jamaica? Yay, go to Jamaica. Look outside those walls of your resort. Oh, and remember, Haiti is the other side of the island. It's all one island. So you got Jamaica over here and Haiti that is in desperate poverty over here. I'm getting off track. But God sent His Spirit so that we could have power, so that we could walk in a victorious life, so we could help others walk in a victorious life. So we're going to look at a few things this morning. I've got a list of scriptures to look at, and I will be reading them all from there. I have an eye appointment in the morning to get my new glasses. I realize this pair of glasses I have, they're the most awful lens. It's almost as bad as not wearing them. I have to use my phone and blow up the camera sometimes just to read and see things. But I can see you all just fine. See, my wife, she got her new glasses. I'm no longer a blue and gray blob up here to her. She began explaining that to me. Oh, I can see that sign. I'm looking at her. I'm like, you've been driving how long without glasses? I'm like, at least for me, it's 3 feet. See, I'm not the only one. But so if we'll open your Bibles, or if you don't have it, you can look up above to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water, but unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now this is John the Baptist speaking, but he's referring to Jesus coming and baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. The word baptize means to dunk. You submerge. That's what the word literally means. That's why when I baptize people, and I have yet to try to, I'm trying to figure out how not to tear your noses off or anything, and not feel like I'm trying to drown you, but you know, people are harder to baptize than it looks, especially when they're your size. Kids, it's no problem. I've had adults float. What do you do? Okay, ladies, here it is. And it was a woman. She's floating. What do? You grab hold of the back of her shirt and pull her under. Think fast. So John the Baptist was baptizing people under repentance. That is what he was doing. That is why we baptize. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we baptize unto repentance. We have repented. We are born a new person. Now the Bible says all things have passed away, all things are new, right? We're a new creation. We are a new creature. Why isn't our mind new? Because we haven't allowed the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit regenerates our mind, I told you, how great is our God? You've got to get to know God. If you don't get to know God, don't tell me about his love. All you're going to look at is a set of rules and regulations. Or you might see this violent person instead of seeing the love that says, I will protect you from anything that comes about. It's funny how we don't like violence until we need somebody to do it. But God did it. It's done. And we just have to remember that when the devil comes at us, he's going to come in, first off, like a flood. I watch these videos all the time, see him come up, and people, especially over in India and Africa, I have no idea how there are so many people over there, and yet they do all these stupid things. There's a flood coming. The water's running over the bridge. Let's drive across it. Oh, by the way, the first guy 10 cars ahead is going to stop and think about why he crossed the bridge while there's 10 cars behind him and the water's starting to take over their cars. No. He comes in like a flood to destroy us, but God said, I will raise up a standard. The standard he raised was Jesus Christ, saying, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came so that we could have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit could not dwell in us any longer. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. He wasn't talking the breath of life. He was talking his Holy Spirit should no longer live with us. Because the world had become so full of sin. God at this point had looked down and he said, I have seen man, and all the intents of man's heart is evil. Well, I think we're there again. We call evil good. We call good evil. We call right wrong and wrong right. We tell people that they aren't special. They aren't loved by God because of what their job is. Or what color their skin is. There's one race, folks. It's the human race. That's it. Got news, got a news flash for you. Adam wasn't a pale European. Not at all. Adam had a tan. He was probably very dark because the word Adam means red. Adam, well, I turn orange with all the freckles from time to time, so. The color had nothing to do with it. Jesus, by the way, for those of you that still are thinking that, Jesus was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little baby. He was a Jew, born in the Middle East, so he would have been a dark-haired, more than likely brown-eyed baby, who growing up would have had one heck of a tan. Neither was he any other. He was a Jew. We can talk about race some other day. So Jesus came to die for all men once and for all. Now, and John is saying, I indeed baptize you, but he's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Now, I think this is hilarious in light of the fact that when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, it didn't descend. It wasn't a dove that came down and everybody said, little dove landed on Jesus' head. It was as a dove, gently. The Holy Spirit gently came down, like a loving mother would lay her baby down. Okay? Not the Father, because the Father just, whoop, boom, about, see how many times they bounce on the bed. What, am I the only one that did that? But the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus gently, but he said, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Anybody remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? Tongues of fire. And it wasn't just on top, they were engulfed in fire. If I hadn't been there to witness it, I probably would have been doubting that it ever took place. But I was in a service one time, and the minister was teaching on the Holy Spirit and trying to introduce people to the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, just as Jesus and just as God the Father. And he's teaching, and this woman who'd been coming, she'd been coming to church for a while, but her husband, he was just a full-on heathen. I don't want anything to do with God. And she started telling him about all this stuff, and he's like, nope, 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 I don't believe it. He says, I think it's all fake. He says, I'll prove it's fake. I'm going to come, and nothing's going to happen. Now, mind you, this man's job is a fireman, okay? It's what he did for a living. He was with the Jacksonville Fire Department. He comes to the service that night, praise and worship. The Holy Spirit really began to flow in the building. And I think the guy just took off, if I remember correctly. I was in the sound booth. And this guy just takes off. Mind you, he's not saved. He's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nothing has happened yet. But the minister is up there praying for people. And this man steps out in the aisle and takes off running full force. And it was a bowling alley down there, so it's a decent-sized bowling alley. The church held between 300 and 500, so it was a decent-sized area. He takes off running around this thing, screaming, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. And he got up there, and the minister laid hands on him, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. He got saved that night, by the way. The Holy Spirit had to come upon us in fire to burn away all the garbage. We could talk about the type and shadowing of Jesus, or the word says that the things in the end will be burned. The next destruction of the earth is with fire. It's not with a flood. It'll be with fire. Fire cleanses. You can burn it. It can burn up seeds. It can burn up roots that can otherwise survive. It can burn and get to the point, really clean things up. That's what fire does. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's job is partly as well. Now the next is Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, many people say, well, I've been prayed for and I don't have the Holy Spirit. Did you ask? Did you actually ask God? I was prayed for when I was 10. No idea what the Holy Spirit was. I didn't even know what salvation was. I'm going to be honest. I was 10 years old. I knew going to church. I started learning the stories. I began to know all this stuff. And I was good. I knew it. I had the information. I loved the stories. I loved God. But I didn't know really what salvation was yet, let alone the Holy Spirit. And people are trying to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Pray for me. So I kind of pretended for a while. Get them off my back. Anybody ever done anything like that? But one day I asked. You can ask my wife. I was a skeptic when it came to things, the movements of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit affects some people different. Some people will just cry. They don't know why they're crying. They're just crying. And then to get up and say, you know what? I don't hate my dad anymore. Some people are hurting so much, and the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows how to fix you. See, even though we've been married 30 years now, I don't know how to fix her. I don't. Yeah. It goes beyond the manual being this big for how to understand women. I just don't know how to fix her. I don't think like her. You can ask her. She's always, anymore she'll say, honey, I just need you to listen. What, you don't need me to rip limbs off of people? What, I'm the gorilla's ready to go. Come on, I'm ready to go. No, she just needed me to listen sometimes and not tell her how to fix it. I'm learning. But the Holy Spirit will begin to move. And as a skeptic, even though I had seen this guy do that, I was still skeptical because I had grown up in services where it was a bunch of phonies. So by the way, if you're saying, well, you know, me too, and that's why I'll never trust, I repented of being stupid. Come on. Quit holding somebody else in unforgiveness because they abused a situation. Jesus said, pray for them, love them, who spitefully use you. And so the Holy Spirit was flowing again, same set of meetings. And I'm like, nope, 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 nope. I'm a corporal in the Marine Corps. I do not believe in this stuff. It's all fake. I think it's all fake. That's in my heart. Okay, I'm just being honest with you if I could. And I was sitting in a section where the church was kind of set up like this. There was five different sections. And we were off to that side of the stage. And the minister came down through there. And he was just taking his jacket, doing this. And whole sections were falling. He wasn't touching them. I'm like, nope. I said, God, I ain't going down. I said, it's a fake. He got to the next section. This place is packed. Like I said, there's pushing 500 people in it. They're all phonies in my skeptical heart. And then he gets over here. Now, mind you, this over here was it wasn't reserved for the praise team, and it was a big team. But we all just kind of congregated there because it was easier for everybody to exit stage left. And so he came over there, and as soon as he did that, everybody fell back into their seats, except me. I fell forward. There was no chair in front of me. There was no person in front of me. It was the carpeted concrete. I did a face plant. And I laid there, and when I woke up, I'm pretty sure it was Johnny. He was looking, he's like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm not hurt. I didn't feel a thing. If you want to know how this feels, you can come up here and you can fall face forward if you'd like. I didn't even have a chance to put my knees down. It was, the Holy Spirit knew what I needed. He broke my will. Because I had seen garbage happen before. I'm like, I'm not participating. And so I was very skeptical about the Holy Spirit and the moves. Let alone being baptized in fire. I mean, personally, I don't know. I'd like to say, God, there had to have been an easier way to have gotten through to me besides slamming my face onto the concrete. But, you know, I got a hard head. I think a lot of us are at that point. But he said, you got to ask. So after that, I began to ask. I said, Holy Spirit, I want to know who you are. I want to know you as the person that I'm trying to know my Father. See, by the way, if you keep rejecting the Holy Spirit, you're never going to know God the Father. Because the Holy Spirit is here to reveal God the Father. It's like somebody coming along with a book and say, you know, here, you want to know more, I'm going to use the Marines. You want to know more about the Marines, here's our pamphlet. Well, I don't want to know about the Marines. That's just a pamphlet. But listen, if I come and say, you got some questions about the Marine? I'm a Marine. I'll tell you. And I do that. I've talked to kids over the years that were wanting to join. I said, do you want to do this? Because it's not for everybody. I said, the military in general is not for everybody. But if you can't handle somebody screaming at you for 3 months straight, you better walk away. You will not do well. Oh, and you think it stops at that point? Then you get to another school, and they scream at you. Treat you like a five-year-old. Then you go to another school, and they treat you like you're a 10-year-old. And then you get in the fleet, and you're like, yes, I'm 20, I'm in the fleet. And they treat you like you're 16. I got a little more privileges. You take the word of mouth of somebody who has been to that. So when the Holy Spirit says, I'm here to introduce the Father to you, and you say, I don't want to know the Father through, I want to know just through the book. Why do you want to know just through the book? You got to know the book too. Just like I had to read the brochure. But until I walked off Paris Island, I had no idea what it was like. So when the Holy Spirit's like, no, listen, I want to tell you about your Father. I want to tell you about your heavenly Father, but you won't listen. I've been there. I have been to the throne room. And all of heaven rejoices when I'm there. And when I come, he says, hey, take this to my daughter. Take this to Angela and show her. Show her how much I love her today. Now, John chapter 3. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, we just talked a little bit about being born of water, being water baptized. That's what it means. But it also, you can look at it because, you know, when you're in the womb, I think everybody in here is adults, and they know that when you are in the mother's womb, you're surrounded by water. That's why it threw all the people around what Jesus was talking about, being born again. You have to repent of your sin. You need to be baptized. Well, what happens if somebody accepted Jesus with their mouth and then they died before they could be baptized? They still went to heaven, folks. Salvation is based on a confession of Jesus Christ. And by the way, just because you got baptized doesn't mean you got saved. There's a whole string that teaches that. That's not even scriptural. Confession with your tongue is when you got saved. Now, and by the way, I have been baptized 4 or 5 times. Probably closer to 6. I've had a lot of repenting to do. At least 3 of them since I gave my heart back to God and didn't look back. Why? Because I wanted to keep making sure that I was crucified. Now, it's not saying that you got to do it. Oh, I got to get saved. I didn't get saved again. I wanted to reestablish to me. I'm dead to that sin. I'm a new creation. But we also need to be born of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the thing that reveals the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God all the time. Paul preached about the kingdom of God all the time. Go into Corinthians, start reading, and he starts listing all this stuff that, by the way, the church is accepting now as it's okay. God doesn't really care. And he says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 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 And we look around and we say, oh, well, you know, all I got is this. By the way, you know, one of the things on there is anger. And I'm not talking about, okay, I got angry, and then I got cooled off. We're talking about anger in which you hold people in unforgiveness. Because Jesus is also the one that said, if you don't forgive, neither will your sins be forgiven. Your sins. That's why you're having anger issues. You got all that weight you're still carrying. You're like, I thought I got rid of that stuff. So you've got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And by the way, you can be baptized in the Spirit without having received water baptism. I know a lot of people trying to teach you can't. Then that means that book is a lie. Because I'll show you where Peter went and asked me, said, hey, they're speaking in tongues. What's going on here? Have you guys even been water baptized? What's that? What do you mean, what's that? We don't know what that is. All we know is we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And boy, is life a lot nicer. Well, I don't see any reason to baptize them. Gentlemen, there's the creek. So people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit without even being water baptized. I love it how God just, about the time we think we got him figured out and we got him in our little cubicle, okay, God, I got you my little Rubik's Cube. How am I going to twist you around today? Ah, yeah, now nobody can understand you. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm wrong? What do you mean they got filled with the Holy Spirit without being baptized? How's that possible? God said, don't put me in your box. God doesn't like being put in boxes. The last box God got put in was the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't like it. John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Can you add 39 on there? I think that's the one I missed. I might have missed a scripture. Yes. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, we've sang that song, I remember singing it years and years ago about out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And I'm like, okay, these analogies in the Bible, they can just sometimes get you. I was talking with a guy the other day, the guy with the ductwork. He's a born-again believer as well, friend of mine. And he was talking, he's like, yeah, he says, this whole bridegroom thing. Jesus is the groom. Dude, we're the bride. I said, yeah, I know. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that whole thing myself. I said, and obviously it's nothing perversion, no perversion in it. It's because that's the way we've been wired the last however many decades. But if we look at David and Jonathan, there was a friendship there that transcended. They weren't gay lovers. But David said, Jonathan's love was greater than any woman's I've ever known. That Jonathan would die for him. Not too many people will do that for you. So there was something, and Jesus did that. But that, again, it's a whole nother railroad to go down. So but out of our bellies flow living water. See, what's in the Bible, I believe, here used out of our heart. Our heart being our soul, where we live. And out of that, and it all comes out of our mouth. And when it comes out of our mouth, Bible says the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've got living water in you, it flows out, but it can only flow out through the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, if I try to just give somebody scripture, I mean, anybody can memorize scripture, right? It's easy. It really is. If you can memorize anything, you can memorize scripture. If you can quote it, especially out of the King James, it's sometimes dead, dry, and dusty, isn't it? But if I can speak life into somebody, because the Holy Spirit says, you know, she needs to hear this message this way. That's how you deliver that message. Even though it's totally scriptural, well, you twisted the scriptures. Absolutely not. I did no such thing. I explained to her in our language, in our vernacular, how things were happening. What the scripture was. So out of our bellies, out of our hearts will flow living water through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will bring scripture to mind. By the way, if y'all think I got tons and tons, I can't tell you exact locations of a lot of scripture. Just can't do it. I'm sorry. I never have been one of those people, but I can memorize the scripture. And I can even memorize it even more when it was put to song. And I'm not talking about the little jingles we were taught in Sunday school. Like I said, some of you would not like the style of music I listen to. It's heavy metal. Okay? But they're singing about Jesus. Scriptures. I was reading in Revelation this morning, and I start reading the second chapter, and John's doing his greeting, and I'm like, I'm reading this, but I'm hearing David Zaffaro from Bloodgood singing this. It's awesome. I heard the scripture, and now it's stuck with me. Well, you know, preacher, I think you just fell off your rocker a little bit. Well, I don't really care. It works for me. Okay, you figure out how it works for you. If it works, write it in poetry. Knock yourself out. By the way, the King James was written that way, so you don't have to redo anything. It was written that way specifically by the translators. Doesn't always flow. But without the knowledge of the Word, we don't know who God is. We don't know how the Holy Spirit's working, because it's things that the Holy Spirit brings up inside of me that says this. And I'm like, that's it. I had an issue one time with something. And I'm like, I was just furious. I'm sorry, I got an eyelash in my eye. And I was just like, God, I'm in my office. I'm pacing back and forth. I'm like, bless God, I'm just praying in the Spirit. And finally, I got calmed down enough, and Jesus, I had to say it was Jesus himself. He said, didn't I say this? And I went and I looked. I'm like, you most certainly did. You said it. You said it. So I had to start changing some things in my head. And start, when I started seeing that, I could start preaching the truth. But it was only until then that I could preach the real truth. Now, we'll talk about later about Jesus having to be glorified. Now, John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He's going to tell. It's like somebody meets Monica and says, well, I'm going to tell you about Monica. Hallelujah, praise God. Man, she's just a great woman of God. She's trusting God. That's a testimony to Monica. Okay? And by the way, you can help lift other people up. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit says, listen, I'm going to tell you right now what Jesus did for you. He took the pain. He took the stripes. He took the beating so you don't have to. All the pain he endured translated over into the pain that we would feel if we were separated from God for eternity in hell. Now, there's pain, and then there's pain. When they beat Jesus with those rods, and I'm sure they did a very similar thing. It was more like a bamboo stick, and they'd beat him, and that stick would just beat, and it would bruise them so deep to the bone. If you've ever had a bone bruise, you know what I'm talking about. That thing takes months to heal. And it hurts. You even think about it and it starts hurting. That's the kind of pain Jesus took. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the things that were hurting us. He hurt for us. So when we're hurting, we need to remember, first off, he took this pain and give it to him and quit taking it back. Because I'm going to promise you, every day you get up, the devil's right there. Hey, Pat, need you to go back to 1970. Remember this day? Need you to go back to that day. I need you to think about this. Think about what that person, June 7th, 1970, blah, blah, blah. Nothing happened for you that day. It did for me. I was born. But he needs to say, you know, whoa. He said, I'm born again. I'm water baptized. I flushed that stuff. I let it go. I don't want to remember that. And we got a couple combat vets. They got to forget this stuff. They got to release it and let it go. We can talk about that. But the Holy Spirit is there to say, let me testify. Let me tell you about how good your Heavenly Father is. Let me tell you about Jesus. Or maybe you woke up and like the day before somebody betrayed you. They stabbed you in the back. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? They made sure they gave that knife an extra twist. Kind of like Jesus did when Judas kissed him. He'd already betrayed him. The kiss was the twist of the knife in his back. We need to remember the Holy Spirit wants to help us heal. We're never going to fully be able to help people until we begin to heal. Most of you in here probably flown in a plane commercially. And when you've been in that plane, the first thing they tell you is if you are traveling with small children and we lose cabin pressure, put your oxygen mask on first. Then help your child. You can't help your child if you're passed out. And your child, depending on their age, may not be able to help you. Period. So we have to turn and heal within ourselves as well. We've got to start healing within ourselves before we can actually minister to people. I was sharing with my friend the other day about, you know, my parents got saved between my ages of 8 and 9. Started going to church. And I really didn't give my heart to God until I was 21. That's when I fully gave him. I went to church. I played the game. But I broke when I was 21. And I told him, I said, but you know, I said, I told God, I want to know you as you. I don't want to know you through a preacher, my wife, my parents, or anybody else. I want to know you. I want this personal relationship I've been told about, right? I mean, come on, you have the same access I have. And so God, over the next, let's see, I was 21, almost 10 years at that point. It was 10 years. That took 10 years, and I'm still getting to know him. But it took 10 years, and then I think it was the end of June, something snapped in me. A light came on. And I was like, I feel grown up. I was 31, okay? I was a grown up. I'd been playing grown up for quite a while at this point. But that time, I felt like a grown-up Christian. And I had no idea really what it was for a long time. I'm like, what took place? God, why did I suddenly feel, why did I feel grown up at this point? And then one day, God waited until I could really get to it and swallow that, because that year is the year we started the church. He said, you forgave that preacher and that elder. Let me tell you something. The preacher's passed away. He was, I don't know how old he was, but he passed away a couple years ago. And I even got to tell him I started a church. The elder is now a preacher. He's now a pastor. And I see him off and on. Now, doesn't mean I forgot what they said or how they treated me. It's the fact I wasn't in my head pummeling him. You got me? I forgave them. I wished them no ill will. When I learned to forgive them, God said, now you're on to really getting to know me. Now you can start feeding my sheep. He had to restore Peter before Peter could feed the sheep. Remember, Peter denied him 3 times. How many times did he said, Peter, do you really love me? 3 times. He said, then after the 3rd time, he said, now feed my sheep. He had to restore him. It took me 10 years to be restored. Jesus, it was just 3 times saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? But it was in one night that Peter had denied him. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Jesus said, this is the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God saying, it's to your advantage that I leave. How important is what he is about to say? It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Hold on right there. Notice here it said Helper, before it said Comforter. It's the same thing. Comforter is somebody who comes along and brings you some comfort in a time of need. If you got a comforter on your bed, right? Why do you have a comforter on your bed? For when it gets chilly. You may not start out from underneath. I mean, like right now, we go in there and I'm like, we don't have AC, central AC in the house. And we have a big ceiling fan. And if you've been up, like you said, in the attic at 120 degrees for most of the day, you're still running a little warm. You're just laying there under, it's like, oh, I'm on top of the comforter tonight. But yet, somehow, miraculously, you wind up under the comforter, snuggled up, because now you need the comforter. See, same concept. You may not feel like you need a comforter now, but when you need it, he's there. He's there holding you. And you didn't even know it. I'm going to set a camera up and watch myself some night. How do I end up underneath that thing? I'm laying on top of it, and I do not remember ever crawling underneath the comforter. Yet there I am. Wake up in the morning. How I ended up on her side of the bed? I don't know. All right, next one. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, the world. Okay, folks, it's not our job to convict the world of sin. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Next. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He's about to be crucified, folks. He wasn't done speaking to his people yet. Next. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Okay? He will glorify me. He's not gonna make you a freak. I do like the song Jesus Freak, okay? But I'm talking a sideshow freak. We have turned the Holy Spirit into a sideshow freak. Some churches decide we're gonna grab rattlesnakes and we're gonna dance with them. This ain't one of them, just so y'all know. I'm not afraid of snakes, but when they bite, the best kind of snake is on my boot. That's where they need to be. But the Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus. And who is Jesus here to glorify? The Father. All right. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Okay, that's where I ended. Just had to check. All right, so here's how he goes. All things are God the Father's. Jesus was given everything that God the Father has. And he has now said that the Holy Spirit will take everything that Jesus has and give it to you. He will declare the truth to you. That is why the Holy Spirit, when you get into a situation with something and it starts going, something's not right. Something is not right. It's sometimes more than just your intuition that's going off. It's the Holy Spirit saying, ask them about this. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit started working through me, I came across a young pastor. Well, he's a little bit younger than me, but and they were coming. They had started coming here and found out he didn't have a job. They had a baby. They were broke, trying to survive. They didn't have a car. And I picked him up one day, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me, said, ask him this. Okay. I looked over at him. I said, what are you doing here? He says, what? That's kind of an arrogant statement, if you want, kind of cocky. What are you doing here? He says, I don't know. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. Let me tell you what happened. He got where he was supposed to be. He went back to doing what he was supposed to be doing. And God has been richly blessing him ever since. God blessed him with a home, free and clear. Y'all heard that right. Free and clear. He has ministered in Arizona on Indian reservations. He has ministered in the hills of Kentucky. And that's all in like 10 years or so. He has gone and he has ministered to these people that are hurting. All because the Holy Spirit said, ask him a question. Because see what happened? He got stuck behind a hurt. Somebody had hurt him. It was people he had trusted, and they turned their back on him. Why do we do that? The song you wrote, Would We Let Our Brother Die? What's the name of it? Show us. Fill Us. Fill Us. We sing it. She wrote that song. The people in that song are real people. They're not made up. They're people we personally know. Okay? And that's what happened. The church turned their back on them. They still claim they love God, but they do not serve him like they know they should. They're not doing the things that they know they should. But we pray that they get to know God as we have come to know him. That he's not somebody waiting to hit us with a 2x4 because we messed up. Things ain't always going to go our way when we mess up. I'll testify of that. He told me to cut a tree down. I didn't cut the tree down first. He said, cut that one down first. I didn't cut that one down first. I cut it down. Well, wait a minute. I didn't get a chance to cut it down because it broke my back. It fell on me. So, well, God broke your back with that tree. No, he didn't. He told me to cut it down. Disobedience has repercussions. Just like his disobedience to God was leaving his family in squalor. This is just, like I said, a bit of a foundation for us to begin to know who the Holy Spirit is, why the Holy Spirit's here. We'll get onto the gifts and the things of that stuff after the picnic. But you see, the Holy Spirit is here to give you a victorious life. Not a life of, oh man, can't believe I go to that church. I'm honored. I'm honored to be here with you. And I say that in the highest of esteem, because people who are willing to stand for God, they're getting far and few between now. Well, we just have to accept what they say. We can't preach God, the gospel of Jesus anymore. We got to take this out. No, I don't. I'll share this with you. I was speaking with my friend, and I thought I knew where he went to church, and he was telling me a little bit, and I said, now doesn't so-and-so go to your church as well? And he said, yeah. He said they're every day they are there, or every Sunday they are there. And I said, you know, I wish people could understand. God really had to work on me to get through to that. These two people live in a lesbian relationship. Now, you read the word, it's not a right relationship. But if we understand what the church is for, see, the night I broke my back, I went to the hospital to get help. If you're living in sin and you're hurting, where should you go? Right here. He said, we love them. They hear the truth. And they still come back. We don't shame them. And I said, and I pray for them. Because now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, she was my first girlfriend. I was 9, just so you know. She was the first girl I ever held hands with. Now, some people might look at it and say, well, that's where I was at. I was having a hard time with that. My wife would say, honey, see, God gives us somebody to come, slow your row. And I began praying. And I believe they'll see the truth of the relationship. They've both been hurt badly by their husbands. So they thought, why not? You can accuse somebody so many times of being something, and they're finally going to say, I quit. I'm going to tell you right now, don't quit. Do not quit. Don't let what somebody else says of you determine who you are. Take what the Bible says you are. If you got Jesus Christ in your life, you are above only and you are not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. Let me put that in our DC world. You are Superman. Did I get the right comic, Jason? Okay. You're Superman. That's what the word means. The hooper in the Greek means super. You are more than everybody else. And why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. He will help you. He will help you navigate where you need to be and what you need to do. So I'm going to end right there. But I want us to remember, the Holy Spirit is here in the world to convict the world. They're condemned already. That was Jesus' words. They're already condemned because he had to come. We were condemned until we stepped over into the redeemed column. That's what that means, to be redeemed. So let God begin to work in you. It took me a long time to see me as he sees me. I was the guy, sometimes I'd still just as soon be hanging out back in the sound booth, helping with the kids, cleaning toilets, whatever else. I didn't want to be up here. I really didn't. Yet here I am. But that's all because of the Holy Spirit, not because of me. All right, let's stand. Yeah. Yeah, Angela's been in touch with her this morning too. So yeah, absolutely, we'll be praying. Yeah, I mean, folks, if you don't think the devil wants to destroy the generation coming up, you're nuts. He is doing everything he can. He is trying to tell them they are something they're not. He's confusing who they are. He's killing them. They're taking away their hope. We have got to remember to pray. And we have got to pray with such fire and such faith that the devil walks away. Forget walking. He better be running. But yes, remember them throughout this week, because I know that we're going to pray for him here in a minute. But you never know whose kid it might be. Phil works for that guy's grandpa. So you don't know how close it really could. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, you know, you see what has happened in Mason's life. Father, right now I pray that you, Father, begin to restore the skin. Restore what has been burned. Father, I know you are the creator. You're the recreator as well. You gave Jesus back his life. You can give Mason back his skin. Father, we stand with the family in faith. There'll be nothing missing, nothing broken. Father, I thank you. You're bringing peace to them, Lord God. You're healing Mason's body. Father, you're helping the doctors to remove this dead skin, Father. And I call forth the new live skin. Father, fresh. Father, I thank you that you're removing the pain from this. Father, I thank you right now that through all this, your hand is with, you are with them, Lord God. Father, they will see your hand in every little thing. What has happened was meant to destroy him. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're restoring his mind as well. Father, I thank you that you're showing him how valuable he is. Holy Spirit, minister to them. Minister love. Minister the life of God back to that family. And to the McKenzies as well. Now, Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that as we can get in it, we begin to get a good glimpse of who you are. And that when we get that, we can see the truth. We can see the truth that is in that word. The truth of who you are. That in the parable, all we ever saw was a father running out to his son. But what you were saying is you were the father waiting. And you ran to your wayward children. You didn't make them come groveling back. You came running to us. You met us. And you restored us. Father, I thank you for that restoration. I thank you for that love that you have shown. Father, I pray that you help us all to share that love with other people. Father, that we may exude your love. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for ministering in here today, Holy Spirit. I thank you that lives will be touched. Father, that you will be revealed to each and every person, Father, as they go about this week. They go about this day even, Father. More and more they will become aware of your presence and the things that you've done for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I did put my tithe in there this time, didn't I?